crack, brew crack, zip-a-doo-ba-doo-bum, brew crack.
Okay. Hi, guys. Welcome to another Brew Crack. Today, we have invited two guests on, Levy and Luke from Yakima Chief Hops. And we also have today with us Philip Koss from our own marketing team. This is Philip's first time on a Brew Crack. So if we have three new guests, it's going to be fun. So basically,
what today, a time to join.
Today we want to talk about Yakima Chief's practices in sustainable environmental practices, because you know it's very clear to see that you guys are leading the way in this. So without further ado, I'm going to ask yourself, Luke, to tell us a little bit about Yakima Chief and of course your background. So if you can go ahead with that, it'd be great.
Yeah, of course. Well, thanks for having us on, first and foremost. Always good to kind of talk sustainability. It's something that kind of, you know, both of us are quite passionate about in our personal lives as well as professional. So, yeah, it's perfect subject matter, to be honest. Yakima Chief Hops, we're the world's kind of largest 100% grower-owned hop cooperative, based out of Yakima, Washington. We've got a network of family hop farms spreading right the way across the Pacific Northwest, so kind of Oregon, Idaho, Washington State. We are kind of, our mission statement is a perfect way to actually describe us. It's kind of, we're on a mission to connect multi-generational family hop farms with the world's finest brewers. And it says most of everything that anyone will need to know about YCH, to be honest. We, you know, YCH was kind of founded in 97, but we've got growers going back to 1869, I think, is the oldest family hop farm we've got, being Carpenter Ranchers, is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. We're also, we have our sister company also in Washington, which is Yakima Chief Ranches, formerly known as Select Botanicals. They're our kind of crop management and breeding program, effectively. So the breeding varieties, a breeding program that gave us varieties like Simcoe and Artarnum, and since then have formed 50% of the hop breeding company. So Citra, Mosaic, Sabro, and kind of most of the big juice bomb hops that we're all used to drinking these days.
Absolutely. And look, of course, leading on to that, Levy, I checked out your LinkedIn profile and you've got a pretty impressive career in terms of corporate social responsibility, and Yakima Chief is pretty amazing. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about yourself, your background and how you got to be in this role.
Yeah, totally. I'd first like to start off and echo what Luke said. Just really stoked to be on here today and talking to you guys. I'm fairly new to the YCH family as well. I mean, just crested about 2.5 years. But I've always been that environmentally geared person. You know, I went to school for environmental engineering, decided that was too much math involved. So I took a turn and I pursued environmental studies and economics. I grew up here in the Pacific Northwest. Come from a berry background, so was definitely on the farm as a kid, but different crop. So I was happy to kind of come into the more exciting world of hops 2.5 years ago. I work in the supply chain here at YCH. My title is a corporate social responsibility coordinator. It's a mouthful, but I get to work with not only people in the supply chain, and that's like the entire supply chain. So from the growers all the way to the brewers, but also cross-departmentally, and get to work on some pretty amazing initiatives. Luke and I have been talking about sustainability since we both got connected, and we're just excited to see where some of these projects and initiatives can go.
Yeah, and look, I think, you know, we talked about myself and Philip, this is the first time that Loughran Brewing Stores have had like a marketing department, and we wanted to run this sort of campaign, I suppose, to show, you know, and highlight the great work that our partners are doing, such as yourselves. And that's of course why we picked up upon it, and we wanted to highlight everything throughout the month of May. And I guess it's really inspired us as a small business, but I think the reason we want to highlight it so much and have these conversations, we believe it'll inspire our customers as well. So look, I know that there's a lot going on with you guys, a lot of projects underway, and I looked into some of the work you've done, and I know that in 2017 you challenged yourselves to reduce your extract emissions by 50% by 2020, which is incredible. And I understand that you are well underway in achieving, you've achieved that, and you are well underway in doing more. So maybe, Levy, if you could tell us a little about your CO2 recovery system, that would be amazing.
Yeah, it was a long time coming. I won't lie. I mean, before I started here, this is a project that was probably dreamed up on the back of a napkin after work in our on-site tap room. But how can we, utilize that circular economy and like bring that product back into our extraction system for the good? So it hits on a few different components of who YCH is. So innovation, again, this was not a plug and play system. This was took some time and some engineering and a lot of people on board from the board level, from the initial introduction all the way to implementation through our engineers and people working on the ground all the time. But the idea was we're burning through so much CO2 in our extraction system, and it's being vented out into ambient air, into the environment. And so what can we do to kind of close that back, not only from a cost savings perspective, but environmentally? That CO2 is no longer emitted. And we started out capturing about 80% when it first went live back in March of 2019, and then decided that 80% wasn't good enough. So we went back to the drawing board, and now we're happy to say we're at 92% recovery rate.
That's amazing.
And yeah, it's pretty awesome. And with COVID-19 being a huge supply chain disruption, we wanted to rely on ourselves to produce that CO2. So this is an opportunity for us to not only reduce the need to buy excess CO2 from our other suppliers, but we're able to reduce that and create a closed loop system here, which has been amazing. But yeah, it was, like I said, it was a big project for a lot of different people getting involved. And I think that really speaks to the message of who YCH is. It's not just a, hey, we're gonna do this because we're gonna do this. This is, let's get everybody to roll their sleeves up and make this work. So I'm excited to see the efficiency continue to grow implement maybe a new one in the future.
Absolutely, it's hugely impressive. And I guess there's a lot of people involved in that project, and I suppose it's more than just a project. And I understand that you guys have implemented a lot of other practices, to preserve the natural resources. I know that we at Loughran Bruinsers, in terms of planting trees and biodiversity, I know that Yakima Chief has kind of implemented some solar panels and installed some water reclamation. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, and stop me, Luke, if I get a little carried away. This is definitely there's quite the laundry list.
The largest solar array in Washington.
It is, and we set out, we wanted to kind of work with nature rather than work against nature, and that was kind of the driving force behind that. I don't know if you guys have heard of the terminology. So Yakima is considered the Palm Springs of Washington State. So in other words, we are sitting pretty with 300 plus days of sunshine, as evident by my sunburn on my arms over the weekend. But yeah, we thought, why not work with nature there? And let's try this solar panel deal. Back in 2016 was when the first solar panels were installed. And then last year, like you mentioned, Philip, like we surpassed IKEA as the largest Washington state solar array. And it was, we didn't set out to hit that notoriety in the beginning, but it was just pretty amazing to see how far we've come and to celebrate those successes as well, you know. And we're not done. We're looking to install more this year, as we see it as a great positive return on investment. And it just kind of fits that mission statement of who we are. You talked about water. We're actually a pretty dry organization in terms of utilizing water in our processing, but we recycle 100% of our non-contact cooling water. So what that water does is it's going through those vessels to make sure that nothing gets too heated and those gears don't start smoking. But all those non-contact cooling water is cleaned and returned back into a retention pond on site in Sunnyside to kind of serve as a recharge for the groundwater. Because we do live in a water scarce environment here in Eastern Washington. So whatever we can do to kind of recharge that water table, because we know our growers are definitely going to want to tap into that at some point to grow those hops, right? So, and then speaking to those growers, they've implemented drip irrigation, which is essentially 85 to like 90% more efficient than your typical open source irrigation method in the field. So there's no evaporation, it's direct to source, and all of our growers have bought into that. And it's pretty amazing to see how much water that they've saved as we continue to calculate those water savings and greenhouse gas emissions on the farm level through our own life cycle assessment that we've implemented back in 2018, and we'll continue to do that into the future. So it's pretty amazing. We can sit around in discussions like this and generate some conversation, and who knows, I've got my pen here just in case we do come up with a new idea, but Luke and I will definitely be the first ones to start that conversation and get it rolling.
We'll swap you we'll swap you some sunshine for water. We got plenty of rain in Ireland and not enough sunshine.
Yeah, well, your Monstera plant in the background looks like it's pretty healthy.
No, it's great. I sent some sources telling me that like you had like big history with water. I was like a water technician very close to Seattle, and I was doing some background, and I was like, oh my god, that's great. I you know, Seattle's pretty famous to me personally, as I'm huge into music is like one of my passions as well, and you know, like some of the famous musicians like Jimi Hendrix and like, you know, Soundgarden and like lots of them come from Seattle. And I was always curious, like, oh my god, he's water. I need to ask him a question about water. It's like, what's in the water? Do I, you know, these musicians drink?
I was blessed to grow up in the Pacific Northwest here. You know, grew up south of Seattle and then continued my education up at a school in like the northwestern point of Washington State there in a town called Bellingham. There's a lot of great music coming out of there too, but it's been a lot of fun. You know, had my history in kind of the municipal district, you know, like working with water as a kid, years down the road on the resume. But we welcome you back anytime. Hopefully live music can hit the stages again in the foreseeable future. But you're right, Kurt Cobain, Alice in Chains, all those guys come from this area, and I enjoyed it a lot.
Look, I suppose it's clear, you know, you're very passionate about what you do, and I guess that resonates with throughout Yakima Sheep, that your employees, the employees are hugely involved in the community and have shared passions to preserve the natural resources that we have heavily rely upon, such as, you know, the water and, you know, the hops and everything that we do. So look, I want to know more about being an employee at Yakima Chief and, you know, how you guys find it and your passions are you obviously looked after, and obviously I know that Yakima Chief give back to the community. So maybe Luke, maybe you could tell us a little bit about that part of the business.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you just hit the nail on the head there. Like, we've got a give back kind of program within YTH as a whole. So there's a lot of people like Levi and myself that are very environmentally focused as well. There's a lot of people that are super community focused. Everyone's kind of got a passion, and it's really nice to work in a business that kind of allows you to kind of actually do something with that through your personal life as well. So we've all got a certain amount of allocated days per year that are allocated volunteering hours. They're kind of their company time, so it's coming out of our day-to-day. We've each got a donation allowance annually as well. So we're an American company, so we've each got $200 per annum donation allowance, which, you know, it's entirely down to everyone's individual kind of passions and preferred causes as well. But yeah, we've got close to 300 members of staff as well. So it's like somewhere between 50 or 60K a year kind of donated through them as well. And then we've also got things like our community blends as well. So we have the Pink Boots blend is obviously our most visible on a global scale. So that's working with the excellent people at the Pink Boots Society as well. So every purchase of the Pink Boots blend, you've got a certain amount of that money goes back to the Pink Boots Society as standard, and that goes to scholarships, internships, everything like that to kind of promote women within the fermented drinks industry. We also have the Veterans blend, which is a little bit less prevalent over this side of the Atlantic, but in the States is a fairly huge initiative as well. So that's working with veteran brewers as well to do kind of some work with their causes and give a little bit back to that community as well. It's a really nice thing to be a part of, to be honest, to be able to work within these a couple of these initiatives as well, and the kind of the excitement that drums up whenever you're talking to one of your colleagues. It's like, oh, I'm going to do my volunteering hours, this is where I'm doing them, this is what I'm doing, this is how it's giving back, this is where my donation's gone. And yeah, it's fantastic to have the ability to kind of put some of my personal passions within my working environment as well as just in my personal life.
Yeah, so it's a absolutely wonderful opportunity to be able to, you know, give back to people who are obviously in need, or, you know, what it is you're passionate about, or the environment. So I think that's an important part of our moral compass as well, to be able to do those things. I'd love to, you know, when you talk about, you know, the local communities, I know that some of the Yakima Chief Growers are doing some great work. You know, some of them are Salmon Safe certified, and you know, doing a lot of, you mentioned, you know, the irrigation. Maybe Levi, you could adapt on that a little bit and give us a little insight into some of the growers, the big growers you have there.
Yeah, they definitely stepped up to the table, especially during COVID. You know, I mean, just to talk on behalf of the community aspect of it all, the lower valley here was hit pretty hard. And so we actually had distribution centers where growers set up drive through food distribution centers. So they were answering the call of their local community members with just open arms. And that's kind of it's just who they are, you know, and it's just like, again, a reassurance that we're working for a good company. And you know, it's not even like an ask. It was, I'm just going to do it. And so, it was really fun to be a part of that, but just watch our growers just give back at the drop of a hat and see what the need was and answer the call. But, a lot of those guys, they're taking that beyond that, and they're instilling a lot of sustainable practices and kind of changing and shifting the narrative from sustainable practices to being best practices. Right. So, whether that's going through and getting Salmon Safe certified, organic certified, what kind of really sets us apart as a company is our Green Chief program, and our Green Chief initiative is essentially an in-house quality and sustainability program built on the premise that, you know, we're going to gather as growers once a month during the growing season and kind of share those best practices, with the ultimate goal of getting people Global GAP certified, which is globally recognized as a quality and sustainability certification. And so whatever we can do to kind of share those ideologies and just have people be comfortable enough to say, hey, this worked for me, or this didn't work for me. And as a neighbor, how can you share your insight to help me kind of elevate my practices and ultimately that crop at the end of the year, right? So right now I just looked before we jumped on the call, I think we're looking at like 10 growers are now Salmon Safe certified. So that's a little bit, it requires a lot, you know? So it's looking at reducing the amount of synthetic fertilizers, using more natural based stuff, introducing like the ladybugs as pest management, as opposed to the fungicides, using cover cropping to ensure that we're not having all that fertilizer runoff into those tributaries and other waterways. Because a lot of times, you know, Pacific Northwest, we're salmon are a huge part of our economy here and have been for a number of years. So it takes a lot to recognize it's beyond your farm, beyond your little scope of where you live. You know, we're all connected in some way, shape or form. So putting forth those efforts at the farm level is pretty big.
That's impressive. Sorry, yeah. I'm going to jump in. I love that ladybugs bit. Yeah, I've heard of this, like new farms and sustainability. And there's a, you know, sometimes these, I think it's ducks to like, for, you know, using different animals to like, mm-hmm. you know, keep control of the, you know, pests and stuff like that. It's genius. And like, so, recently I've learned as well that like the Salmon Safe is actually step ahead of organic, because organic is always like this buzzword and you're like, oh, it's organic, great, you think it's at the top, but no, Salmon Safe is actually, I don't know if I read it wrong, but I've been told that it's actually a step further from organic Salmon Safe certification.
Go for it. It's been hugely educational for us. I mean, you know, we knew some things and we knew about your initiatives, but you know, when we have these conversations, we indulge in them more. And I think, you know, if we're learning, then you know, our customers are going to learn even more, you know. So I think that's really great that we're having these conversations, and we touched upon it before, where, you know, these may be all small things, but if we all do something small, it'll accumulate to something great. So it's wonderful. Yeah,
education, first step, like
education, and I mentioned our customers, you know, that's, the hops are for our customers at the end of the day. And I know that you have done some great collaborations in raising awareness. So I seen Fish Have Friends with Fish Have Feelings, Fish Have Friends, Fish Are Our Friends, Fish Have Feelings is a really cool name. And of my aware that maybe there's a few other collaborations that were done. Maybe Luke, you could tell us a little bit about them.
Yeah, exactly. So like on the Salmon Safe certification side of things. So there was a beer fest that was organized in 2018, I think it was, which is the Salmon Safe IPA festival, basically. So the Fish Have Feelings was first brewed for that, and that's by Aslan Brewing as well, which I really have to try and remember exactly where they are. They're in Bellingham, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
They are, yeah. And that that Salmon Safe festival was organized by Hopworks Urban Brewery in Portland. And yeah, so that's where the Fish Have Feelings was first brewed. But it's kind of become a bit of a recurring brew for them as well. So most recently, the 2021 brew, which was released on Earth Day this year, actually. So, you know, just recently, big kind of powerful West Coast IPA, all the right hops in it as well. But it's a great way of kind of showcasing that extra level of diversity that's kind of, like Levi said, it's so intrinsic to the Pacific Northwest. It's like from all of the states, every single little town, everyone is kind of has that complete understanding that what you do doesn't stop at your border. So it doesn't stop at the edge of your town, it doesn't stop at the end of your driveway, but it has this kind of this knock-on effect. And when So I was speaking to some of my colleagues in the States about the fish out of feelings thing, and they brought up the pod pack from Vancouver Island as well. And that's it's kind of a series of collaborations that they do with other breweries kind of around the local region as well. And the profits raised for that go back to, I'm going to have to read, because I did have to write this down because it's a hell of a name. So it goes back to the Pacific Salmon Foundation and the Southern Resident Killer Whale Food Security Fund.
Yes, I have that here too, yeah.
that's why I had to write that down. My name is not that good. But it's an incredible initiative as well, because this whole like the Southern Resident Killer Whale pods, there's these three pods of orcas, and they all kind of, they live and they migrate through these straits as well, and it all comes back to salmon as well, because it's such a enormous part of their food chain as well, and kind of breweries raising awareness for the food chain that supports the wildlife, that brings the tourism to their to their area, and the tourists then drink at their tap rooms and purchase their beers as well. It's kind of, it is the whole ecosystem side of things as well. And it kind of, it comes down to those passion projects of some of our brewing partners and some of our team in the States and Europe, everywhere, to kind of put a couple of ideas together and come up with some of these projects. I mean, like Fish Our Feelings and the Salmon Safe IPA Festival entirely down on some of these incredible brewers as well. But when an idea like that comes across, certainly from on my desk on the marketing side of things, like I'm signing off on it before I finish reading the email. It's like, this is incredible. How can we support this as well? So it's great, to be honest. And yeah, it is a very Pacific Northwest mindset on things as well. Just be like, how can we make a decision now that's going to aid something tomorrow as well? Which it's like probably the one thing I've picked up on most since being with YTH, to be honest. Every time I speak to anyone at our grower level, and certainly every time I get off the call with Levi as well, it's like that's the conversation, that's where we're going.
Yeah, it's not what we're doing. I think there's a lovely quote on your website, it's not what we do the next year, it's what we do for the next 5 years. Maybe you guys know that. The Toffees probably wrote that, but yeah, it's an amazing page you have as well, dedicated to your corporate social responsibility. So look what the work he's doing is great. I think when you know you're going to buy a beer, you want to buy a beer that's going to, you know, improve the planet in some way, I guess, or help sustain it. So I think it comes with the brewing industry, it comes full circle along, you know, and everything comes full circle. So if we can do something, I guess, that's going to make a difference, then why not? I guess that's the goal.
It's just beautiful. Like Luke and yourself, Joe, mentioned that knock-on effect, no matter what kind of point from the farm to the can or glass, you know, you're supporting, you know, and this kind of educational aspect, if it comes across. And that's why I suppose we're here on this podcast, is to show potential customers, no matter if you're supporting the beer, drinking it, or you're getting the ingredients for this can of beer, you're actually, you know, you're doing something where, from people, Will actually has that, like, but people to give a fuck, you know, about their product, you know. So it's like, it's just a plus for everything, you know, instead of, you know, these like macro breweries, they're just like pumping out beers, and it's just that bit of a difference, you know.
Yeah.
And I think people should like buy our beer.
It's a big point though. Sorry, I was gonna say, yeah, it's a really big point there, Philip. It's like people are more conscious than ever, I find. Like the beer drinking consumer are more conscious than ever about the ingredients and the provenance of what they're consuming. It's kind of, it's been an understood thing within food for decades now, that you have to, You have to understand the provenance of your meat, the provenance of your dairy, of your grains, of your vegetables and things like that. And for it to come around to raw ingredients that goes into something that traditionally maybe people don't think too much about. You know, beer is there to be enjoyed at the end of the day, and kind of hasn't necessarily had the same scrutiny as wine or malt whiskey or something like that historically over the years. But I think the education point of consumers, and that's led by brewers more than anything as well, like the brewers are seeking out the best ingredients and in most cases the right ingredients as well to make their beer the best they can do. And it usually ends up that that's by sourcing things from the most environmentally conscious, the most sustainable, the most forward-thinking ingredient producers as well. And you know, it's a fantastic thing to have, start seeing the end consumer demanding that of the brewer as well, because the brewers want to see that as well. You know, these are the conversations that every time I speak to one of our brewing partners, you know, that's the conversation, it's them bringing them up. And it's just like, hey, this. And it's amazing that that's kind of resonating with the drinker as well over the last like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone seems to be more aware and conscious. And I think the idea is to keep going with that and keep improving on that level of awareness. Look, thank you guys for coming on and chatting to us about this. It's obviously a topic that everyone's talking about at the minute. So I guess these are probably really busy with people trying to nab us for information all the time. But look, if there's anything else, maybe you have anything else you want to chat about or discuss or any plans for the future, you can let us know.
Yeah, no, again, thanks for having us. I mean, Luke and I are just lucky enough to be able to talk on behalf of our company, but I mean, it goes to the 60 plus growers, the entire employee, or in all of our staff. There's a lot of buy-in, and it's just not all lip service here. So we see that at the grower level as kind of that older generation kind of passes the torch off to the younger guys as they're taking it, the farm, to the next level. You guys talked about the brewers specifically, like it's happening at the farm too. And it's pretty cool to see that transition happening. So yeah, we're excited for the future, and we've set some pretty lofty goals for 2025, and we're going to march forward and just be transparent. If we win or if we lose, I think we're still in a great position to kind of create some positive change here in the industry.
Absolutely. I think after the last 2 years we've come through, we can keep going. If we can get through the past 2 years, we can definitely do more. So look, thanks for coming on, and it was great chatting to you.
Is this the youngest cast that we've had on a Brewcrack so far?
Well, I would imagine so. Yeah, I think Will and James bring up the average age on our podcast. Not assuming anyone's age, though. I'm not assuming.
I'll take it.
Very youthful generation, you know.
It must be that sunshine.
Yeah.
Very good. Look, thanks, okay. Guys. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
See you, guys.